No, no, the meeting ran the wrong conversation point.
398.
What? 398. 398. Is that it? I didn't put it on the memory conference. Okay, so we're about to begin a brand new sugya. It's the very end of the shiur yesterday, so we started to introduce the sugya, which is, of course, really a continuation of everything we've been talking about. And that is, the Gemara tells us, as a milsa pshita, finally, I mean, it took a little bit of time to get to that point, but finally reached the point of the principle of psik resha. The Gemara says there's a principle of psik resha, and that poses a problem for these berries. And the Gemara says, no, everything is okay. This lo shana charite, fine. But whatever the teretz is that we spent a lot of time on the last couple of days, but the institution of psik resha here is clearly playing a role. But before we can even discuss the violation of this isser of tigun in v'adas ayudei psik resha, we have to just stop and ask ourselves a basic ABC question to sugya: just how bad of an isser are we talking about in the first place? What's the degree of violation of the Shabbos we're talking about? The person is plucking off the berries of the adas. The Gemara called it a tikkun kli. So we are quick to point out the Taisus already in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel, already observed that this is not a real tikkun kli on a level of deraisa. Why not? So Taisus is very, very vague. They said it's a tikkun mua, and this is not a real deraisa. Why did Taisus say that? What prompted Taisus to say that? Well, they used that idea to explain why the psik resha of nichlin is going to be mutter here, even though Tosfos' general sheet is against the aruch. Tosfos maintains that psik resha of nichlin is generally also mid rabbanon, but if the isser itself is under the rabbanon, then and only then the psik resha of nichlin is going to be mutter. So according to Tosfos, it was critical, it was imperative for Tosfos to explain that the tikkun of the hadas here is not a tikkun of love of deraisa. In contrast to Tosfos, we mentioned at the very end of the shiur yesterday that the Mordechai disagrees in the second Mamre Kavos, the Pirush Rivah, the Misakan Gomru, Masha Tiktilo, Nasha Diskidol, the Mitzvah, Visur Deraisavi. So the Mordechai says that's not a correct answer that Tosfos is giving. The Rivah says that's not right. And this is a real bona fide Tikkun Deraisa. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they fighting about? Tosfos and the Mordechai, should this be a Deraisa or should this only be a Derabanan? So when we look at the Malacha of Machbe Patish, so obviously the word tikkun is pretty important. There are three terms Chazal use for the same thing. It's Machbe Patish, it's tikkun kli, tikkun man, it's all the same thing. Clearly tikkun is a major component of defining this Malacha. And the question becomes, what exactly constitutes a tikkun? What is the very definition of a tikkun in Halacha? I think there's a phrase, something like, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So in order to understand what a tikkun is, you have to understand what broken means. What does it mean that this kli is not functioning? It's not a usable kli, and therefore it's not a usable item, and therefore it's called a tikkun. How exactly do you define what that means, not usable? So, l'chora, what Tosfos is driving at is as follows. L'chora, Tosfos means when they say that this is not a tikkun gomor, so already the Minchas Chinuch and others point out that what Tosfos is probably driving at is as follows. That the significance of this tikkun, of this hadas, is only in the halachic universe. In the physical world, nobody could care less about whether there's another berry or less berry here or there. You take ask your average non-Jewish florist and ask him, oh my goodness gracious, I have a hadas with a couple of extra berries on it, so I'll say, so? But you gotta get them off. Why? He doesn't say, it's not on his radar screen. So that's what Pinchas Chinuch says. The clearly Tosfos' opinion was that a tikkun that's only a tikkun in the halachic realm, that's not called a tikkun derayis. Hilchos Shabbos was given for Olam Hazeh. Shesh Sham Tavan is Shiluchtech. For this world, Hilchos Shabbos is not in the Olam HaSalyon. Hilchos Shabbos relates to the Olam HaSachtonim. And if it's not viewed in the eyes in the secular world, in the physical, practical world, as being a tikkun, so then it's not a tikkun on love of derayis. And the Mordechai clearly disagrees with that. Mordechai clearly understood that it doesn't matter. If it's a tikkun, it's a tikkun. That tikkun can be defined by the halachic universe itself. So the question is, who's right? I mean, hard for us to say it that way, but the mice is right in this machlokes tais in the machlokes. Do we have any rayas one way or the other? So there is a sugya in Maseches Beitza, in the second paragraph of Maseches Beitza, where the Mishnah tells us that one is not permitted to be tovel kalim on Yom Tov. The Mishnah happens to be talking about Yom Tov, and therefore the Mishnah says, when you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash and you're getting ready, you better make sure you have kelim that are tohar, because you're going to be kachim, asheni, etc. So you better make sure to tovel all your kelim from before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov you're not allowed to do tefillas kelim. Now obviously the tefillas kelim that Chazal were talking about here was for the context of Tumah, and we'll see in a moment how that plays out for us, but in the context of tefillas kelim for Tumah, you have to make sure to tovel your kelim before. It's my timer. What's the problem? What's the rule with being toveling kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Anyone remember the second paragraph of Beitza? There's four different reasons why. So we're not going to focus on the first three, we're going to focus on the fourth. So the other three are technical reasons. Some have to do with the Tumatara, some have to do with Hilchos Shabbat. A variety of different reasons. Gzeri, you may come to carry. Half a dozen different reasons why you came to Tzilas Kelim on Yontif. But the only thing that matters for us is the last one. And that's, if you take a look at the fourth of the Ramakimus, in Beitzi, Chesed Ben Aleph, Rav Amrei Shanir Kimisachin Kli. Rav says the reason why you came to Kelim is because it looks like you're fixing the Kli. The pot used to be broken. What do you mean it was broken? I mean it was Tomei. Couldn't use it for Kutchim, for Truma, for Mashashane, etc. Now you put it into the mix, all of a sudden Hocus Pocus becomes fixed. So you change something, you rectify something, you Misachin something, therefore it's awesome. So what could we be dying from Rav's Lashon? Nira Kiwa? Nira. What does Nira mean? It looks, it resembles. Nira is not the Lashon we would generally use to invoke a Din D'Oraisa. Obviously, when Rava said Nira Ki Misachin Kli, he must have meant only on a level of, obviously, altogether. Let's wake everybody up. Altogether, on a level of the Rabbanan. So the Chora, why did Rava hold the Torah of the Rabbanan? Chora is a big tikkun. It's a tikkun on a level of D'Oraisa. What's the answer? Well, the Chora, the Pashas Advarim is that this doesn't constitute a tikkun D'Oraisa because there's no tikkun in the Olam HaTachton. There's no tikkun in the physical world taking place. Since it's all in the halachic and the spiritual realms, the universe of halacha, so that's exactly what Rav is driving at when he says nira kimisachin kli, which of course would be a big great support to Tosus against the. Good, just keeping everybody up. Okay, so that's the pashat advarim. So the chord is this mishnah is gemara. It's very shver according to the Mordechai. So what's pshat according to the Mordechai? How could the Mordechai tell us that plucking off the Inve Hadas is a tikkun d'oraisa, is makom patush d'oraisa, yichayev skil on Shabbos for it. Whereas when it comes to tovelin pots, so then even the Mordechai has to concede that it's only b'derabanan d'ora kimisach. What's the difference between the two? So obviously, just to go down the route of halachic versus physical is not going to do the trick according to the Mordechai. So what's the b'ira d'ava? What is the difference conceptually between? Inve Hadas, which the Mordechai is claiming is D'oraisa, in contrast to the Tefillas Kelim, which everyone has to agree is the worst on the Midrabban. What's the conception of the two? So don't go down halachic versus physical. What's the difference?
You're not changing the object itself.
So even the Mordechai has to concede that there are tikkunim and there are tikkunim. There are tikkunim that the purpose of the tikkun, true, is only for halachic reasons. But at the end of the day, it's a different looking chetz. At the end of the day, you did change something that is nikar l'inayim. Now, the consequences of what you did are irrelevant in this world. So the non-Jewish florist is not going to understand and appreciate the significance of what you did by plucking off those berries. But at the end of the day, the florist will say, yeah, that hadas has six berries and this has two berries. So there was some kind of a nikar l'inayim, some kind of a physical change. The physical change didn't have halachic consequences. I'm sorry, the physical change didn't have physical consequences. It only had halachic consequences, but it was a physical change. In contrast to Tefillas Kelim, where a pot before the field, a pot after the field look identical, not only is there no physical consequences, there was no physical change either. And even the Mordechai has to concede that you can't have a Shabbos that's happening in the Olam HaSal Yen and Megamre. You have to have something that relates to this world. So the Machlech is placing the Mordechai is not min akotze lakotze in terms of is physical change absolutely irrelevant to Shabbos. Everyone agrees physical change is relevant to Shabbos. Everyone agrees that part of the Malacha Machal Patish requires some kind of a physical change. The question of the Machlekes that the Rishonim are arguing about is a physical change that doesn't have any physical consequences. Is that in turn D'Oraisa? That's the Mordechai Shit. Or is that only Midrabanan? That's the Mordechai Shit. So, Kopar, when all the dust settles, Lamaisi can't have your Kelim and Shabbos, that's for sure. And Lamaisi can't pluck off your berries and Shabbos, that's for sure. Feels Kelim is Zichad de Rabbanan, Nid Vedas, Kentan de Rais, Kentan de Rabbanan. Just as an aside, this did it feel as Kelim with the Rabbanan, is this relevant for us? The reason why Tfilas Kelim is also with the Rabbanan, according to at least the fourth day of Rabbah's reason, is because of Mechzik Misachin. Does that have any relevance for us? So I preface by saying the Tefillas Kelim that the Mishnah was talking about was Tefillah Midei Tuma. Why do we Tevil Kelim today? A guy goes to the store, buys a pot, buys a set of silverware, buys a glass, and he Tevil it. It has nothing to do with Tuma V'tar, Haraya. It's going to be tamei when he finishes. Also, everything is tamei. Everything is from his meis. Nothing's going to help in terms of going to the mikvah bizman. We don't eat chulin betar anyway. We don't eat trum anyway. We don't eat nice shed anyway. We don't eat kashim anyway. So why are we tevelin and kehilin? So that has nothing to do with the betar. That's a mishnah in the very end. The last mishnah, the second of the Zohar, tells us that lokeh kehilim and akom. If you buy kehilim from a non-Jew, so then madbilim, then you're required to be tevel them. You have to tevel the kehilim. That's a separate bit for nothing at all to do with tumah betara. There's a machlekes of Rishonim, but that's a dimin atar, dimin derabanan. The Gemara says from Sukkim, it's not clear as the derais, as the derabanan, as machlekes, etc. Fine. So that's a separate complete mitzvah. So there's some Rishonim who say, that this din of Tzvilas Kehilim that we practice today is not subject to that Issa derabanan of Nirukim Misachin. Anyone know why? Why would our Tzvilas Kehilim be almost a less level of Tikkun than even the days of Chazal? Well, there was no concrete status change there also. There it was Tamid Tahar, but I mean, physically there was nothing. So there it's Tamid Tahar, here it's Asr al-Mutar.
There,
out there. It's not exactly the same. See, with Tefillah Skelet, it's not exactly the same. Tefillah Skelet is either a Kenis in the Kedusha min HaTorah for the Kli, or it's a Kenis in the Kedusha min HaTorah for the Kli. It's not Kedusha, it's not afraid of it. Okay, but tumah is also tumah lamad yidivet. So what's the difference? Still look, what's the difference between tumah and the mitzvah's tevilah? Is there any difference? What was the object? What? Yeah, I know. What does it mean? Oh, what object are you talking about?
Not art.
What do you mean the object? You were about to say it. You aren't going to say it. I'm going to tell you to say it. I have a pot. All right, the pot's tummy. Okay, I go ahead and I put a piece of meat in there that's kachim. I put some food in there that's truma my sasheni. Now what happens? What just happened? It just became tummy. Right, a kli is matavi eichlan. How do you know that? Pasuk chumash b'kala. Oh, eichel hashem yeichel hashem. Pasuk shmini. Pasuk shmini. Okay. So a kli tummy impacts on food. I can mamish ruin the food. It can make the fruit to the point where I can't eat it anymore. If it's chulin and it just became tummy, big deal. Chulin betumah is really mutamik redin. But if it's truma, my sasheni or kachim, it became machtreif. It became also b'derais, and now I don't eat it anymore. So this is a broken kli. What's the din if I forgot to tevel my pot and I cooked a pot of soup? What do I do? Big deal. So there are more quals in the show. Big deal. Eat the food anyway. Why? It's not like you're cooking a treif a pot. A treif a pot, if I use the pot for chazir in the last 24 hours, or this tam chazir, balua that's absorbed in the walls of the pot. So now when I cook in that pot, some of the chazir comes out, goes into the soup, treif, set my soup. If I use a pot that was not treif, it's just a pot that wasn't toiveled, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a mitzvah tvila. There's a mitzvah to be toiveled a pot, but it doesn't impact on the food. So many Rishonim said that the whole idea of viewing a tummy pot as broken doesn't make any sense to the man of there. Because the man of there, it's not broken. The man of there, it's a mitzvah tvila. You have to do, you have to perform mitzvah tefillah, but from the very first point of the pot's not really broken. So one could argue that maybe the whole issue, even with the Rabbanim, doesn't apply to Bezman HaZeth. That's a shayla. In Shulchan Aruch, we're machma. And the thing is, we don't do tefillahs kelim, even Bezman HaZeth, Shabbos, and Yontif, but it's far from agreed upon by everybody. But anyway, getting back to Esther. So, we have a machlekes of Rishonim about whether the tikkun kli in our sugya is a deraisa or a derabanan. And now let's read the sugya in effect according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it says in Shabbos Kuf Gimel that the tikkun here is only mid the Rabbanan. So the Gemara is telling us the Gemara Chiddush. The Gemara reads really, really, really beautiful. The Gemara is telling us that you're not allowed to pluck off these berries. So Frech the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said you're allowed. I don't know, that was different. It was Dov Shem Miskavin. Frech the Gemara, it's a psik reisha. So what do you see in that kasha? Just in that kasha itself. And the fact that the Gemara throws the penalty marker down on, hey, what are you doing? How are you plucking off the berries? It's psik reisha. What do you see from here? Something that I may not have known before. Oh, so one could have argued, again, I'm not saying I'm going to make this case, but one in theory, and I'll tell you, of course, we all know, it's not such a big secret, there are some who do make this case, that the entire institution of Psik Reisha, everything we know about Psik Reisha, all the lumdas from Rabbi Chanan, the Taizim, how could the worst, Psik Reisha, the Nichol, the worst, the worst, the worst, the whole parasha of Psik Reisha was only said by Derais, it was never said by Derabonis. One, it's Nitam He'amer. It's possible to say such a thing. And there are going to be a Rishonim who say such a thing. That the whole institution of segregation was never instituted by Dirim Derabanan. All together. How come we go call? So that opinion is negated by this place. because Tosfos learns that we're dealing with a derabanan, because Tosfos has to learn it's a derabanan, because otherwise they never, can't make any sense out of the end of the Gemara about the Isto Shana Charite. So since Tosfos is forced to learn that lichted the entire sugya, that the mir in the hadas is only a derabanan, the afal pichein, the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility of psik resha applying here, and the Gemara only backed out at the very end and says, no, don't bother me, it's only a psik resha, the lo nichale. But except for the quirk that it's lo nichale, the parasha did a psik resha applies even to derabanans. So it's clear from Tosfos that there's a problem, afilu the isurim derabanan, because the example par excellence is miut inve hadas. That's clear as day for this. Why in the world should one think twice? Do we have a reason to believe otherwise? So the Meiri already, those who saw the Meiri already made this aura. The Meiri already said, within those who say that we're only dealing with the Derabanan here, we must conclude that secretions are also Derabanans. Just their Chagav, according to those who hold that the Mir Ivedas is their Isa, i.e. the Mordechai and the Riva, we are free to suggest, I didn't say we have to, we're free to suggest that maybe Psik Reish was never said by Derabanan. It's possible. Do we have any indications anywhere in Shas that Psik Reishas maybe don't apply to Derabanan? So I have to apologize. I was sure that I put the sugya on. Yeah, where's the man who was printed out? I have to apologize. I thought I put that whole footnote on. I thought I put a reference that. Man, if you don't sit up, not bad. I thought I referenced the Gemara in Erevin. I don't know how that happened. I thought I referenced the whole Gemara in Erevin that was part of the next part of the Gemara. I have to just fill you in on the fact. Okay? It's a hard fact to fill in, but I'll help you along. All right? So there are Rishonim who question this. There are Rishonim who hold the Psik Reisha by Yisurim Derabanan is just not true. Where in the world did they get this from? They got it from a very complicated sugya tucked away in the end of Masechta Erevin. This is closer to almost the things that we spoke about at the beginning of the year in terms of Erevin and carrying and Mechitzas. We have to just put ourselves back into a little bit of that mindset of the first parak just for a moment to appreciate where we're coming from. Who remembers back from the first parak? One of the biggest challenges in carrying on Shabbos is what's the most important thing everybody needs? Everyone needs water. Who remembers how many challenges we had with this poor water problem? Who remembers? Who else needs water besides people? Animals need water, right? So remember, what did we have? What was that called? Who remembers? The old Pasi Birel story. Chazal had to bend over backwards, come up with these unbelievable creative ideas of mechitzas, deraisas, with corners. Remember that stuff about just the nebuchadnezzar, the animals are have to drink. So you have sugyas and sugyas at the end of the Masechta Erevin, not Pasi Birel per se, other kinds of scenarios that we got to figure out a way. Now again, you have to figure out a way that works, as we've said many, many times in Halacha. Just because you have a problem doesn't mean, you know, not every problem has a solution to it. So you have to really, really work in very, very creative ways to figure out a way to overcome certain problems, certain obstacles, because the mice, we got to get water. So you got to really, really learn all there, but you got to really, really work hard to come up with an idea. So the Mishnah, in the very end, tucked away the end of the eighth parak of Erevin. If you made it this far in Erevin, you're good to go. The very, very end of the eighth parak of Erevin. So the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses the following problem. A guy's got his house. I'm not going to be able to draw this very well. Okay? But he's got his house over here. All right? And he's got a window over here. And he has a gezustera. He's got a ledge. All right? And it overlooks the water. So imagine this guy, he's got... It's in his castle, overlooking the moat, something like that. And he's trying to figure out a way to get some water from the top to bring it up to, I'm sorry, from the bottom to bring it up to the top, okay? Now that in and of itself poses a very, very serious problem. Why does it pose a problem? Because the water, usually, generally speaking, a yam, a nar, things, rivers, oceans, lakes, those kinds of things, are generally viewed in halach as what? They're not rishus hayochid, they're not surrounded by walls. On the other hand, they're not what? They're not rishus rams either. What are they? They're karmelesses. They're generally karmelesses, right? A yam is a karmelesses, and a river generally is a karmelesses. Okay, fine. So the problem is he wants to get the water from here back into the onto the ledge, into the house. You know, that doesn't bode very well. That sounds like some serious carrying problems, right? So he's got this bucket, and normally during the week, he just lowers the bucket down, and he stands on the ledge, I don't know what he does exactly, where he leans over the ledge, and he dips the bucket over the side, and fills it up with water, and he's got his little pulley system, and brings up the water, and Shalom Yisrael. That's pretty much what happens on Sunday through Friday. Shabbos, that's not an option. So what could he possibly do? So if you had to think of a creative idea, what would be a creative idea to let this guy get his water? Think like Pasi Barel's type of a strategy. What would be a really good way to do it? Oh, so that would be a pretty good idea, right? The idea would be, I guess the best case scenario would be, first to build walls, right, all around the water. Right. And thereby making the water shesa yachad also, and shalom Yisrael. So between you and me, it's probably not that practical, all right? Water's going to be this big river going down, you know, to the next town. It's not going to happen. So what's the next best strategy? If you're not going to make a big, you know, wall surrounding the whole river, what would be another way of doing it? What? What do you mean by that? Well, we can't carry within the common. You got to get walls in there somewhere. That's the goal. All day of it is to make walls. Oh, so now we're talking. Now we're thinking first pick of sukkah already, right? Maybe you can make some kind of a makeshift wall that I don't really have to surround the entire water. I really have to surround with the area where my bucket's going to go into. I want to just pull up some of the water with the bucket. So if I can figure out a way, almost like to build walls in here, I don't have to make the entire river surrounded. So when I got my general area where my bucket's going down, that would probably be okay. That would be a good strategy. Excellent. It's a problem. It's not so practical, logistically, for the guy to go down there to make walls, the water's going to knock down the wall. It's not going to happen, right? So the Mishnah says, we realize that's the goal, but it's just not going to happen. So what can we say? You said something interesting. What did you say? Good what? Yes, you didn't mean good as, you meant good achis, right? What's the difference between good as and good achis? So good asa goes up, and good achis goes down. Okay? So you have an interesting idea. Let's build walls. Catch this one. We have a hole where the bucket's going through. Why don't we just like build like some, you know, drop some pieces of wood, you know, and nail a couple of pieces of wood, kind of surround on all four sides, or maybe stick some walls over here or something, and surround the walls. But wait a second, my bucket's going down here. How the wall's 20 feet uphill? So we can invoke a principle called good achis. Now, just as it's the opposite, the cousin of good asik. Good asik means you build walls on the floor, and then those, once you've established 10 tefachim, then they go up the shemayim. Here, I build walls in a sense in the air, and once I've established 10 tefachim worth of wall, then I can go down. So what goes up goes down, invoking the halachic principle of good achis. Sounds like a good eitzah, right? But who likes to say so? Okay, what's the problem with so? That good achis generally doesn't work. And the reason what usually trumps good achis, I don't know what the term is? Okay, so we're not even sure it applies even to Sukkotin. I mean, the din of good achis. Good asik does? A good asik does apply. Well, we spoke about this a lot right, early in the year. Okay, we'll stick to the good achis just for a second. So comes the Gemara and says, in a few places in Masechet Shabbos, Masechet Erevin, that there's a, and in Sukkah also for that matter, those at the end of the first parak, there's a basic principle that undermines the entire principle of good achis. What's it called? Mechitza Teluya, right? Mechitza Teluya, the Gemara says. That the principle of Mechitza Teluya doesn't work. If you have, let's say, forget about this water. Stop. I want to build the Sukkah. And this is the ground. And I want to start the walls. The walls are going to go here, right? Oh, probably not the right way to make the arrow. Actually, okay, we'll leave it like that. I built 10 tefachim walls, but there's more than what? There's more than 3 tefachim here. So I can't say lavud. So the Gemara calls this a mechitza teluya, and the Gemara says this doesn't work. And the Gemara says almost identical, same thing in Hilchos Shabbos, that if I surround an area with mechitzas, but they're not within 3 tefachim of the ground, that's a problem. It's called mechitza teluya and materis. Why is a mechitza teluya no good? So the Gemara says it has something to do with goats. The Gemara says it's a mechitza shedim boken ba. It's a type of a mechitza that the goats can sneak under this wall, And somehow that's a shear of mechitza. That if you can't have a mechitza prevent the basic traffic of little goats, little animals coming under it, so some of that undermines mechitza. That's a lashna gemara. So mechitza kli is no good because it's a mechitza shagidim bokim ba. So I had the privilege a couple of years ago in Etzias Baikola where my neighbors under Moshav happened to have had a goat, and we had a fence between the two of us, and the fence actually had some breaks in it, and I was fascinated to watch which parts of the fence the goat could come through. I wasn't fascinated when the goat would come into our property, but I was fascinated by measuring just exactly how much could be in my bokeh, but they really are bokeh. Okay, so I guess Chazal saw more goats than we do. So Rabbi said, so this doesn't bode very well for this mechitza tluya. So comes the Gemara and says, no, that even though mechitza tluya generally is no good, catch this. Kalhu shehikilu chachamim b'mayim. That an area is related to Hilchas Mayim or something, so somehow that breaks all the rules of Mechitza Tluya. Why is that? So you got to learn Erev and Shabbat to figure out why that's true. Okay? But the bottom line is, notwithstanding the general rule of Mechitza Tluya being no good, here Chazal were Mekel, and here we in effect do apply a principle that otherwise very, very weary, very hesitant to apply. Good Achas will apply over here. Now again, don't lose too much sleep over this. It's Zonim Midrabanan anyway. Why is it Zonim Midrabanan? Because the whole problem was Zonim Midrabanan. Because again, it's not a Rishis Ram Derais anyway. Everything is only a Karmelis. So it's not such a serious problem. So we have a good solution for not such a serious problem. Okay? So that's the background of the Mishnah. So those who make it to the end of the 8th Perek, remember the Fiyom? Remember the Sugya? Somewhere back. The back of the 8th Perek of Masech Nerevin. So the Mishnah has a whole discussion about the Gzustara and making a hole and making mechitzas, right? Ben Lamala, Ben Lamata. Okay, good. Fine. Very nice. So comes the Gemara now with that background. That was a 10-minute background. Comes the Gemara with that background and quotes a Machloikas Amoroim about the following. So I understand why it's critical to let this fellow lower his bucket into the water. It's very, very important to let him lower the bucket. You got to let him lower the bucket. No question about it. Exactly what to drink. So now the guy figures, okay, good. So now that I have this system set up, I got my bucket, I got my hole, I got my mechitzas, I got my water, everything's great. Chazal just a matzah, good achis, I'm good. Everything's gevaldik. I have some extra water in my house, some dirty water. I got my extra mayim, I got my mayim acharonim vasa. And I'd like to discard some of the water also. Can I do that also? Using the same trick. Again, this is before the advent of modern plumbing. So I want to get rid of some of my wastewater, my shpachin, and I want to use the same hole. Easy come, easy go. So the same way a minute ago you let me lower my bucket, pull up my water, and you told me to make a mechitza tluya, and you told me it's okay. So can I do it with the water that I'm discarding as well? So that's the machlokes. What's the shaila? The Gemara says that in theory it should work. So once we're mata, this setup, so the chari should work. But there's a problem. What's the problem of this? What's the problem? Anyone can see what the problem is? It's a technical problem. It's a logistical problem. What happens if I actually pour water down this hole? Where's the water going to go? What? It's going to land. I mean, gravity, I guess, will bring it pretty much directly down. What's going to happen a minute later? A second later? It's going to start to spread. Where is it going to spread? Outside of where? Outside of the gurachas. Outside of the walls. Outside of the imaginary, you know, line. So I'm going to pour water down. I'm going to pour water down. It's going to land here, but a second later, it's going to be outside of those walls. Is that something that we have to be concerned with, or is that something that we're not concerned with? So it's machlokes d'gemara. So that's the sugya of the end of the eighth parakha b'erev. Machlokes d'amaron, is that a concern, not a concern? Comes the Mordechai. Don't forget the Mordechai, who the Mordechai was. Comes the Mordechai. In Masechet Erev in Chaval, I thought I'd put this quote on the Maamar Kama. But comes the Mordechai in the end of Masechet Erev and says, it's a machlokes d'amaron. It's unresolved in the Gemara, we should talk. Yeah? It's only Derabbanan, the whole thing is Derabbanan. Anyway, it's only a Karmel's anyway. No, halacha d'vei mekel. We have a right to be mekel. Safi Derabbanan l'kum machlokes d'amaron, din Derabbanan, the whole thing is not so chomer anyway. Yesh l'hakom. Ad kan d'vei Mordechai. Who sees the kasha coming? Who sees why we're talking about this issue? Comes the Trumas Hadeshen and says, wait a second, hold the phone. You just were machriya lahokel on the shayla. You paskin la maisa. You're allowed to pour this water. I don't understand. Based on what are you allowed to pour this water? Why does one opinion say it's okay? What do you want to? In the end of the day, you are causing water to be carried outside of the quote-unquote air, outside of the bechitzis. What is the hefter for this opinion? What is it based on? Says the Tzibazdesh, it must be that we're hiding behind what principle in halacha? I don't really care where the water ends up. I want to get the water out of my house. That's my goal. So I pour water down, and then almost, we're going to use that terminology, almost the second maisa happens, the water gets carried away out of the mechitzas. Vis-a-vis that water getting carried out of the mechitzas, what do we call that? What can we hide behind Rabbi Say? A dove or what? Dove should be scabbed. I'm not miscaving that it should go past the mechitzas. I'm miscaving it should get out of my house. Now, there's a chance, a 50-50 chance it may end up out of the mechitzas. That's not my problem. Fracted tube is a dash. What do you mean 50-50? It's a joke. It's a lightsonus. It's a what? It's not a 50-50 chance. That's a ratio. Of course it's going to happen. Try it 20 times. Every time you pour the water, it's going to end up outside of the bechitzes. So, frak the truma said, dash out of the Mordechai, up the Gemara, and Mesech Zeirvin. How could you be machriel akula? It's a psik resha. And a psik resha, meida, abayev rav, don't try, meida, shim, psik resha. You know what the truma said, dash says? Zeman from Doh, you see from here, that since the Isser involved is only Hotzah Durabon, because the whole thing is only a Carmelis, it must be zik the Mordechai, that by Isurim Durabonon, lo nema the principle of psik ratio. Chazal can do whatever they want. Chazal made all this of the Rabbanon. They can make whatever kuz the chumas they want. Heyman veyman. Chazal said that by Yisurim the Rabbanon we're not going to institute psik ratio. We'll live in a world of priya bayav rav in a sense. We'll live in a world of dov shem miskaven, call it a day, call dov shem miskaven. And that's the beer of the Tumas Hadesh and within this Mordechai, within that day in the Gemara Masech Zerivit. That we view the pouring of the water as a psik ratio of Hotzah de Rabbanon. Psik ratio of Hotzah de Rabbanon is not my problem, says the Tumas Hadesh. Now this is really good, because this is the Mordechai speaking. Why am I so excited this is the Mordechai speaking? Because the only Rishon who must disagree with this Tumas Hadesh and Mordechai is who? It's Tosus. Because Tosus learned that the mute in the Adas is at the Rabbanon and Afal Pichein, the Gemara calls it psik ratio. But the Mordechai Lishitosu in Sukkah may defend that Mordechai. If you really believe like the Mordechai in Sukkah that there's a deraisa going on here, and therefore the Gemara in Sukkah Lam Gimel is not even talking about the issue of secretion and derabbanan, then you're free to say kenzai, maybe that's what the Gemara means, secretion and derabbanan is what. So I can't divert to Mitzadash with the Mordechai. Gevaldik l'shitas on this hunky dory. So how does Tosus read that Gemara in Erevin? We paskin l'halacha that it's mutter. Is that what Tosus explains this? So now again, according to the Aruch, that would be great. But Tosla Shitasim probably wouldn't be so thrilled unless you said special Nichol the Rabbanon, right? But again, even that Tosla wasn't even sure, because remember Tosla in one place says mitzvah is different, right? Right. So even Tosla themselves weren't even 100% sure about that. But it's still also with Rabbanon. So why is this butlach achila? Yeah, the Gemara says butlach achila.
It's not a
secretion. Not a secretion. Kind of hard to believe that. I challenge you. Go build a ledge over a moat, and put a bucket down and pour water down and 20 times and see where the water ends.
Didn't the Tzibur Zadash entertain the idea that it was the Darshim is
diving? No, I just said that to dramatize.
Oh, okay.
Tzibur Zadash has saw more moats than I did.
More of the case of, like,
Rama. Oh. Comes the Magen Avraham and he says, he doesn't believe we followed this. Mordechai doesn't believe we followed the Tzibur Zadash. We are believers in Taisus. We hold that even on Isurim de Rabbanon, gotta be. Says the Magen Avraham, this Gemara in Erevin is not right. You say correct. Says the Magen Avraham, Me'ikar, me'ikar, me'ikar adin. It should have probably been mutter to pour the water down the chute, even if you had in mind hinni mucharim zuman that the water should end up out of the mechitzas. That should probably have been mutter anyway. Why should that have been mutter? You want to call it grama, you want to call it kochol, you want to call it something. It's not really be a dayan. Because at the end of the day, it's not really my pouring the water that's making the water. I'm pouring the water down to the bottom. And what? There's a current to the river, there's flowing of water, there's the air, there's a lot of factors, physical, you know. We need some earth science, okay? We usually don't call it the earth science, right? Earth science, you know. Guys, remember you guys probably didn't even take earth science, right? Yeah. Earth science, 10th grade. Ninth grade. It's that science that you never really, you know, not exactly sure what you're doing exactly. It's a little bit of meteorology, a little bit of, you know, geography, a little bit of, you know, you learn about earthquakes, you learn about, you know, water pressure, you know, vapor, cloud vapor, that kind of thing. You know, you're never really sure what you're coming and going with that. So anyway, here, it would probably help us to have a little bit of earth science here. Because the bottom line is, when you pour the water down, is it your mysa that's causing the water to disperse and to end up outside of the air, outside of the walls? Not really. There are other factors going on, which may smack of almost like Rama, and it'll be a daim kind of disperse. So the Magen Avraham says, it really should have been mutter to do it directly. Hello, what? No, that doesn't look right. That doesn't look right. So, but Magen Avraham Umar, it doesn't look right if you do it intentionally. Here, I'm not even tending to it. I know it's a psik reisha, but it's a psik reisha on something which is being done der groma in a sense in the first place. So therefore comes the Magen Avraham and says, you can't extrapolate, you can use this burn ever to be model to be matter all these from the abon of der psik reisha. That's not fair, says the Magen Avraham. The Mordechai to Sadeshin said, they found the Gevaldik Zach of this Gemara. They saw on this beautiful picture of lowering water through the hole and having it dispersed as a raya brewer, and you can extrapolate the Alil Cheshavis, Psikration, and their abundance as Mutter. Says the Magen Avraham, tone it down a little bit. This is very, very unique. It should have been Mutter anyway, even not Psikration, even Derech Havana Mamish. But we asked it Derech Havana Mamish, but Ad Kedekach, we're not going to ask for it Derech Psikration. So basically, the Magen Avraham said, don't make a tumble out of this Gemara. This Gemara is not impacting one another.
But in general, when we have a case of Grama where it's a Psik Reisha.
So it could be a Psik Reisha to Grama, maybe Mutter, right? Maybe that's a new idea.
Is that other places in Shas, do we entertain that idea?
I wouldn't say in Shas. There's a Rashba that talks about it. Maybe true. There may be such a principle, but almost a Psik Reisha to Grama, maybe Mutter. It's possible. So basically, getting back to our story. So, again, we're trying now to focus on the unique shayla of psikreisha by Dinim D'Rabbanan. The only reason why we thought it's relevant for us from our sugya is because according to Tosfos, it comes out of Raya Brewer from Sukkah Lama Gimel that it's a problem. According to the Mordechai, we can basically ignore that Raya. Then we have this Gemara Masechet Erevin that sounds like it's pointing in the other direction, but we're already deflected that Raya. So Kedar Kena B'Kodesh, we don't have any clear rights. Sukkah is not helping us, Eiv is not helping us. Any other Gemaras that are going to impact in this discussion? So there is a Gemara, a complicated Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, with the Tosef Masech HaShabbos, with the Bochamas in Masech HaShabbos. Anyone figured out Mitzaref? Anyone have a clue what was going on with Mitzaref? A clue? Half a clue? Okay, I'll try to help you along. What? I know. Okay. I didn't want you to put the whole toast, did I?
Oh, well.
Really? I must have been sleeping in these memory cameras.
I'll sleep
in the room. Would love it, ratio. Yeah, the three quarters of toast you guys did already before. Right? Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's all. So let's get a little background. The Gemara is bringing back to life the issue of Mitzaref. Who remembers when we had Mitzaref last? Back in the Beis Hamikdash with the Kohen Gadol, right? Parshas Mos. So trying to throw the coals into the, the hot rods into the cold water. So that runs into potential issue of Mitzaref. Who remembers what the Malachas of Mitzaref are? Maybe? Either Machabatish or maybe? Maybe keyboard because you're extinguishing in a sense the glowing metal. So comes the Gemara in the third Pekka Masech HaShabbos. It also talks about Mitzaref, but in a less dramatic place than the base of Mikdash Mikvah. Talking about your own kitchen. You have a hot pot that's been sitting on the fire. It's blazing hot on the fire. And you want to fill up some water into this hot pot on Shabbos. Now, usually that's a big problem. Why is that a big problem? If the pot is hot, maybe shall a bishul on the water. So the Gemara says, well, that's easy to overcome. How can you circumvent bishul on the water? If you do what? You put a lot of water in, okay? Put a lot of water in, so then you have then nothing's gonna get all that hot, nothing's gonna reach out. So let's bring it home free. So the Gemara says, but you still have a problem. You have a problem of what? Of mitzarif. Still a problem of mitzarif, because pouring cold water even into a blazing hot metal clay is gonna run into a problem of potentially mitzarif. So what is the Gemara? What principle does the Gemara invoke? Don't worry about it. The Gemara says it's okay. You know why? Because it's a what? It's a Dovshay Miskapi. And the Gemara then goes on to relate Rav and Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, a whole story enough in the mouth of Nazans in Shabbos. There's a whole discussion about how does Dovshay Miskapi fit into this, and it basically boils down to that if you're into Dovshay Miskapi, then this is okay. So we have a problem, Rav Yisai. What's the problem? The age-old problem. Every time we see Dovshay Miskapi, we expect the next words. What are the next words? And those words are missing in Asuya, missing in action. There's no mention in the Gemara in Shabbos and the Malif about, hey, wait a second, it's a Pesik Reisha. What happened to Pesik Reisha in Shabbos and the Malif? It's missing in the Sugya. So I'll tell you a secret that appears in Rishonim already. It's part of that same phenomenon we found 2 days ago or so in the Rambam. The Ramban quotes from the Ravid. It says, you know why that line is missing in action? You tell me why. Think of Mari Korkus. What?
Doesn't apply,
sir. That's the Chiddush end. Pre-pre-pre-pre-creation days. Remember the Mari Korkus? Remember the case of Mishnah? Pre-pre-pre-creation days? The Gemara in Zvachim wasn't Geiris yet, pre-creation? So the rabbi says, yeah, here also the Gemara wasn't Geiris pre-creation. But if you want to know if you live in a post-pre-creation world like we live in, Abayi, Rav, Jem, Shabayu, then in the Chanam we have to reevaluate the whole Shalom from the vantage point of pre-creation. So the Ramban does not accept the Teretz Yisrael. The Ramban says he can't believe it. The Ramban says, what? Come on, who are you kidding? The Gemara, so true, maybe the early Amoraim weren't holding in Sigresh, but the Gemara, this is the Gemara, this is Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina Rav Ashi are presenting to us the text of Shas, and 500 years later, so you're going to tell me they didn't bother asking the Kasha by Abayiv, Rav, Adam, and Shavayim? Sometimes the Gemara does, sometimes the Gemara doesn't. Very, very hard. The Ramban doesn't like stylistically this Teretz, but this Ravid is Mamish Ka'ein, what the Mari Korkus and Kesavish Tebedas and Ramban. But we're not going to go down this Ravid deal. We're going to go to conventional wisdom, so not a piece of covenant Ravid. But we're going to go to the regular Mahalchim and the Rishonim, why there's some kind of a reason why Psikresha doesn't appear here. Not because it doesn't exist, but there's some kind of a real, real, honest, goodest reason why it doesn't appear here. So come a group of Rishonim who suggest, this appears in the Sefer Shlomo, one of the Rishonim, and quite possibly, we would expect the Mordechai, Shumas Hadeshen, to go down this route, and just simply put two and two together. Now you're off your line. Why is there no mention of Segresha? Because after all, Segresha doesn't apply to the Rabbanans. And who told you that Mitzarif is only the Rabbanans? Oh, Rashi back in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. Remember? When the Gemara said back in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph that how in the world can we let us throw these hot rods into the water on Yom Kippur to warm up the water a trifle. How can we do that? Lalo Mitzare. So the Gemara says, no, it's okay. It's a Dovah Shem Miskavin. Everything is great. I fracti Makasha. The Dovah Shem Miskavin is not so hunky-dory because after all, Negatzaras, remember, right? You Mobusar Losa, you need a Pasuk. To which the Gemara said, no. They're Isa and they're Abonin. Remember that? So what was the Machlokes Chazer for a second? All the sugyas are becoming interlocked now. What was the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos? What would their Eis Derabbanan? What do those words mean? So Tosfos said their Eis Derabbanan meant what? Who remembers? Dovah Shem Miskavin in Hilchos Shabbos is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Takan only in Eis Derabbanan. Dovah Shem Miskavin called Ter Kula, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is in Eis Deraisa, right? That was Tosfos' Pshat. But what was Rashi's Pshat? Who remembers Rashi's Pshat? She said that Mitzarif itself is only what? Is only an Isser Derabbanan. Even in Shabbos, it's not a real Malacha Deraisa technically. It's not a real Malacha Deraisa of Kibbutz. For whatever reasons, it falls short. And since it's only a Derabbanan, so therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda asks Dovah Shem Miskavein by Deraisa will be made that Dovah Shem Miskavein by Derabbanan is okay. That was Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara. Remember that? So, Lichten Rashi's Pshat is that reality that Mitzarif is only Derabbanan. So we're not so concerned with Rabbi Yehuda right now. We don't even pasuk Rabbi Yehuda. But we're going to borrow Rashi, and we're going to say, just as Rashi told us back at and Yuma that Tzirfa is on the Rabbanon, so that's going to help us now to explain why Pesach Reish is missing in action. Because maybe by not mentioning Pesach Reish, the Gemara is in effect committing itself to this idea that Pesach Reish doesn't apply to Yisurim Derabanan, i.e. Jumas Hadash and the Mordechai, etc. So we're putting together a Rashi back from Yuma Lama Dalet with a Mordechai in the end of Maseches Erev, with a Jumas Hadash from the Erevin, and we're trying to explain Pshat why it's missing in action. So again, according to the Rive, it's missing in action because it wasn't heard of yet. It was pre-Pesach Reish days. But according to the other Rishon, we'll say it's post-Pesach Reish days. This is a possibility why, in fact, it's not mentioned, even though it is physically a Pesach Reish, but halachically doesn't concern us. Now again, this Pshat is a very, very forced Pshat, because it has to assume two things. It has to assume like that Mordechai transgression. It has to also assume like that Rashi and Yuma, which is highly controversial Rashi. Probably most of them don't accept Rashi. But at least we have two working Pshatim in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. Eifo, Pesach Reish. What happened to Pesach Reish in the sugya of Mitzarif? Where to go? So the Ravid said, Kodem Abaye V'Rova. And others are suggesting now that basically, I mean, we're putting these words into the Mordechai and the Tzimtzum Sedeshen, that Mitzarif is on a Midrava. Okay. But again, we have the utmost respect, the Halakha Rishonim, for Nichais, for the Ravids, for Jurisdictions, we got it, but somehow we're not comfortable yet. We're still not 100% comfortable. So what do we do? Where do we go? So what does Taisa say about this topic? The Bali HaTaisis, there's no way in the world the Bali HaTaisis is going to go down the second terrace. Not a chance. They were the Bapluktas in the Mordechai. So how do you solve the problem? Where's Mitzarif? I'm sorry. Where's Pesach Reish? What does Taisis say? Mar Mocha number 6. V'tzarech loymar. That what? It's an easy one. So the lo have Pesach Reish. Who said taking a hot pot and putting it into water is a Pesach Reish? Who did you state? Sheyochel liyos shlei tzarif. It's possible that it's not going to reach the point of tzirut. Because if it would be a Pesach Reish, it's a Reish, my dear Bishim. So Tosas took the kasha and said, your kasha was predicated on a mistaken physical assumption. You got to go back to this is not earth science, you go to chemistry. Will it reach Mitzarif or not reach Mitzarif? Tosa says, I don't know. You don't know, great, don't share Miskav and call it a day. Ad kan tibir Tosas. So we have a third Mahalach in Rishonim. It's a law of Pesach Reish. That's Tosa Shita, right? It's a law of Pesach Reish. But now we go to the Ramban. And the Ramban is going to open up for us a major, major, major aspect of everything we're talking about. Comes the Ramban on the 7th of the Ramakamis and the Muchamis, those are following along. Comes the Muchamis. And first he goes to Rabbi. V'divya Rabbi Avram. She was sorry for the mechem shemim emayim. It's a Pesach Reish. The vade mitzarif. Who's al doichek loymar? The hamil said thereby it ma mekamid l'shamin eder rova. The mechem shemim Pesach Reish loyamos. Says v'nei zesh lo kedas rishonim. That behal, that beer of the raven. It's not what the other rishonim did. V'dochok. It's very, very difficult textually. Why? Shul molly kain. If that was the pshat in the gemara, lo hayav the gemara shows kemiz. Chazal, the lady of the Rambam, Vina of Ashwin, when they closed the text of the Gemara, wouldn't have mentioned, oh, by the way, the last 300 years, something's changed in the world, namely Pesach Reish. So the Ramban doesn't like the Rabbis Pshat. So what's the Pshat? So the Ramban sounds very, very close to Tosfos. Listen carefully to the words of the Ramban. And let's see if Mechem la Pesach Reish. Right? Sirif Mechem, throwing the hot clay into the water, putting the water into that clay, is not is not a psik reisha. Why is it not a psik reisha? How do the Ramban know chemically, scientifically it's not a psik reisha? Shema lo higil etziruf. Maybe the pot is not hot enough to be subject to mitzvah. If I take a pot and heat it up to 40 degrees, or up to 100 degrees, it's not going to reach tziruf. It's got to get really, really hot in order for tziruf down for that strengthening of the metal. I'm assuming all the guys are going to check up afterwards online how that happens exactly. Strengthening the metal with the cold water. What temperatures are necessary for a pot to be in order for the metal to strengthen it? Can you get me that info? Yeah, you're working on it? Okay, let me know in a minute. Okay. So the Ramban is saying, there's a chance, I have no idea, I'm not a chemist, I'm looking at the pot, I'm a guy in the kitchen, I have no idea whether it's reached that magic number. So therefore, Shem Elohim Gil Tziruf. Avalishin is Chamim Harbe. Even though it's very hot, but maybe it's not hot enough. Whew, the Ramban is breathing a sigh of relief. Since it's maybe not hot enough, therefore we can no longer call it a psik ratio. And then the Ramban throws in for good luck. Maybe this particular pot had already undergone the process of tziruf. I have no idea. I don't know that putting this pot into this water is accomplishing that goal of tziruf. So the Ramban says, therefore, I'm comfortable to call Davshim Iskavit, and that's the reason why it doesn't appear in Chazal, the Psik Reisha, not like the Ravis Pshat, and not like the Mordechai Trumas Hadeshim that went off and told me a story that Psik Reisha doesn't apply to the Rabbanim, but Rashi and Yubalam. No, that's all wrong, says the Ramban. The other reason is because it's a lot of Psik Reisha, and the Ramban even gives you a little bit, a little Tarmad, explains to you a little bit why not, either because maybe it wasn't hot enough in the first place, we got some temperatures, got some numbers on it. You work okay. You work after the show. Either because it wasn't hot enough to start with, or maybe it even underwent tziruf before. We don't know about it. Inshallah, Yisrael. So, anyone wondering? Am I a little careless in my charts here? Why do I have 3 and 4 as two separate answers? It's the same thing. Tosafot Kazak, it's not a psik reisha. The Ramban Kazak, it's not a psik reisha. So I care that the Ramban gave you some chemistry lesson in the process. Well, they're going to have some potential. I mean, Tosus didn't say that much. Let's look at Tosus for a second. Back to Tosus. Tosus said, "V'tzarech l'madulav v'psik reisha, she'yachol liyash le'yitzarif, that it could be." This tear is going to flop. It's just not going to happen.
It sounds more like it's right for tear, but that for whatever reason it may not happen. It's supposed to be the Ramban that
what do you mean by that? Well, you're almost there. Tosas and the Ramban are describing different types of reasons, different svekas that we're throwing into this to bump out psik reisha. But they're conceptually different kinds of svekas.
Maybe there's not enough water being put into the pot as opposed to the Ramban saying maybe the pot itself just doesn't.
That's true. You may be right, but is that what Tosas is really saying? Not enough water?
Tosas is saying if there's any way to make it not a psik reisha, then it's no longer a psik reisha. Versus the Ramban says it's got to be a bunch of ways.
Is it true the Ramban was just giving? Was the Ramban just telling you everything you had to know about chemistry in one shot? Was it really necessary? He gave all those reasons. One in itself could suffice. I'm not sure that you're right. I don't know.
You're saying it's very realistic.
I don't know. Conceptually, you guys are too down the pots in the waters. Conceptually, what is Tosus describing? Tosus did not elaborate upon any chisaron right now. What type of a chisaron is Tosus addressing? What kind of a latest a suffix is there? A suffix le, the next word. What? Le asid lava. A suffix le haba. We have all pieces in place. We have all information right now in front of us. We're good to go. But you know what? Not every time you put a hot pot into water will tziruf happen. Why not? I don't know. You have to check the mind. Why sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. The Ramban felt compelled not just to give us a chemistry chazor shir, but to actually explain to us, to give us two examples of what the suffix is. We lick the suffix. Where lies the suffix? The suffix lies in front of us right now. We don't know. We're not privy to certain pieces of information now. And the Ramban's willing to call that a what? A davar she'ein miskaved. It's not a psigresha because you don't know how hot the pot is. It's not a psigresha because you don't know whether this pot underwent tziruf last week or not. That's also a davar she'ein miskaved. Is that a controversial statement of the Ramban? That was an obvious question. Of course that's a controversial. Anyone know the two names? If you tell me the two names of the Acharonim, you got it. If not, we'll have to wait till Sunday. So the Ramban has just opened up the door for us, a whole new angle of psikresha. A whole new angle of what constitutes Dov Hashem is Kavod and not of psikresha. The issues of Sufik Lahaba versus Sufik L'Sha'avars. Just the two Gedolei Acharonim. If you got it, you got it. If not, wait. Oh, that's the Berman, remember? The two names. Taz and Rabbi Kivager. Okay? Hopefully we'll meet him on Sunday. We're going to pick up from the Taz and Rabbi Kivager. This very Nakuda, the Ramban, becomes a critical, critical, pivotal point in Halacha. Okay, hopefully we'll see everybody. Rabbi, come to Shabbaton. We'll see you all.